Welcome to Managing Safety, brought to you by the FAA Production Studios, a joint effort of the National Aviation Safety Foundation and the FAA Safety Team, the FAST Team. This talk show addresses strategies for thinking in today's complex aviation world. Now, here's Amy Loboda, editor of Aviation for Women magazine and FAST Team representative, Fort Myers, Florida, who is today's host.
Good morning. This is Amy Loboda, your host for FAA Production Studios Managing Safety Podcast. I am here today at the International Transport Forum in Leipzig, Germany. I have with me Jack Short. He is the Secretary General of the International Transport Forum. The International Transport Forum covers all different modes of transportation. Now, we're particularly keying in on the aviation mode, and one of the things that's changing here in Europe are regulations concerning CO2 emissions that are going to change the way airlines operate, and also private flyers. As well, there are some new modalities for the airlines trying to economize on fuel. Is that correct?
Yes, the CO2 emissions issue from aviation has been a controversial one for some time, as you know, and the European Union has decided to introduce an emissions trading scheme from 2012, and so far this is still going ahead. There is talk of challenges and there are talks of legal challenges, but for the moment these have not materialized, and so the system is going ahead. The idea of this system is to try and find ways to reduce CO2 emissions from aviation and put the CO2 emissions into the pot with other emissions from the industrial sector. Of course, this can definitely succeed in reducing emissions from the aviation sector in Europe, but of course some of the questions around it are whether it gives a competitive advantage to others outside Europe, and also whether it will lead to some distortions in behavior by aviation companies trying to get around some of the regulations. Well, they might change where they approach Europe, where they land, and so on. So there's a number of questions around the issue that are not fixed yet. I think they're all still in play, and it's not completely clear what will happen.
Does the International Transport Forum have any data at all that shows that the regulation of CO2 emissions in aviation is actually going to reduce anything?
Well, it's very hard to have data that shows something for the future, of course, but... But I mean, I think when you do schemes like this, they eventually start kicking in. So it eventually is going to start working. I mean, you might argue there are other ways to do it. You might, for example, tax aviation fuel, which is a controversial subject, which is not very popular with the aviation industry. But when you think that fuel in cars is taxed up to the level of maybe 80% of the price, you might say maybe a global fuel tax might have been a better way to do the whole thing.
Well, in the U.S., fuel tax is exactly how we do all the structuring for user fees. And in Europe, it tends to be more a pay-as-you-go program.
Well, you know, your taxes on road transport, for example, in the U.S. are much lower than in Europe. You know, the price of a gallon of fuel here is 3 or 4 times higher than in the U.S. So we pay far more taxes here than you do. The difference in the U.S. is that your money is used to pay the highway system. The taxation is used directly here. In general, the money from the taxes on fuel goes into the general fund and is used to fund all sorts of things, maybe hospitals or whatever. But we have a high-price fuel policy in many countries in Europe, and that's the way I think it's going to stay, despite high fuel prices. So we do already have that. I mean, in terms of managing demand in transport, that is one way to do it, but we think that in the future probably it needs to be more specific, and that probably charging users as they go, like you mentioned, is going to be the longer term future, because one of the reasons is that it works better, it's more direct when it happens. The second is actually that, you know, as cars become more fuel efficient and other parts of transport become more fuel efficient, we're going to use less, and therefore, even if transport grows a little, probably the tax take will go down, so there'll be less money in the kitty. So we'll be looking for money anyway to pay for the transport system or other things. So there's a couple of reasons then to look at the way we charge.
Exactly. Another key aspect of this transport form is the biofuel initiative, and obviously the airlines are very interested in that from the perspective that they could get around perhaps the CO2 emission issues altogether.
Well, I think you can't get around the CO2 emissions altogether. The biofuels too have emissions, you know.
True, but they're much lower.
They can
CO2,
be lower. It depends on which biofuels you use, how they're produced, and what their life cycle emissions are. But in general, they can be lower for sure. But the other side then is how much fuel can be replaced by biofuels. And maybe by 2030, 2040, maybe a quarter of aviation fuel, I don't know, maybe a little more, could be replaced by biofuels. So we're not there. We're not going to replace the whole fuel base that we use by biofuels. So biofuels will be a solution, will be a partial solution, and could, as an argument, but could go maybe a quarter of the total fuel use. But still, that leaves a lot of other fuel.
It does. There's an initiative on the roads to replace diesel with natural gas. Is that feasible in Europe as it might be in the U.S.? It's people are really exploring that in the U.S., but we have a very large base for natural gas that's domestic. What about in Europe?
Well, we've gone a bit the other way in the sense that we have switched very much from petrol to diesel over the last decade, and a huge share of car sales in Europe are diesel cars. In America, diesel is used mainly by trucks.
Well, I'm talking about liquid petrol. It's LP gas, the kind that comes out.
Yeah, but I was going to say that these have still taken a small share. And in Germany and in France, for example, the attempts to get ethanol and various kind of product mixes into the market have not succeeded. There has been a certain consumer reaction, hostility even. And in Germany, some of the companies have actually withdrawn the sales of some of these E10s and whatever they call them, because there were allegations that maybe these products were dangerous for your car engine. And so once this allegation comes out to a nation of proud car owners like Germany's, then I think it's a difficult sell. And so people have backed off on it. And the same in France, where they had quite heavy targets to sell petrol with a decent share of ethanol or something in it. These have not happened. So things in that sense are going quite slowly.
Okay, so switching fuels is not something that's going to be very popular at this point, and you're looking as seeing even biofuels being a very long-term solution. Then what about changing the methods by which airlines fly? And this is really talks to constant descent profiles and the efficiency of, instead of doing step-down descents and holding aircraft on the ground and creating a slot system, and that aircraft has a space that's like an arc almost from point to point.
Well, I think the aviation industry for a long time has been arguing about the inefficiency of European airspace and maybe World War airspace. So there's a great deal can be done by shorter routing, and then these techniques you mentioned also can come into play. But I think the main gain at the moment in European airspace is to try and get the single airspace into place so that we can avoid the unnecessary and overlong routings that we have at the moment. We may save 10 or 20% of miles in many cases there. So all of these techniques are happening. And of course, as technology gets better, the headways become less, and we can make improvements safely, I think, in the way we use the limited capacity on the ground and in the, especially on the ground, of course, because that's where the constraint is.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. It's the runways in the end, as we like to say in the U.S.
Yeah.
It's about concrete. And not only limited capacity, but you had a very interesting op-ed recently that talked about the Christmas disaster and how that happened. And your commentary was that we were not very good with getting the ice and the snow off the limited capacity runways that we had, and that really created the snafu in a sense. And we're sitting here today and watching an ash cloud drift across Europe. How's it going to be different this time? What do you think?
Well, I hope it's less severe for a start, because it will affect attendance at our event. And we have already lost some
personal,
people.
I'm sure.
Well, we've already lost the Icelandic Minister of Transport is already the minister of the interior. He has to stay at home to keep an eye on this, and we've lost a few others who are on the path. So we hope very much that the disruption will be minimized. I think there are a number of factors that will mean it will be less. I mean, we definitely understand a little more about these clouds, the way they move, the nature of them, and the interaction of these clouds with airline engines. I think all that is better understood. I think we have put the responsibility better where it lies, with the companies who know what's best. The governments were muddling around in some extent, and of course they had to be careful and take cautious approaches. But then once they've done that, they're stuck, and they can't go back for a long time. So it's much better to transfer the responsibility to closer to the best place. And I think, therefore, for all those reasons, the technical reasons and the better organization of the system, that we'll do a bit better this time. Let's hope so.
Most definitely. And let's hope we don't have the winter that we had last winter, where it wasn't just aviation, it was also the trains. I mean, every bit of transport was impacted on some level.
It's very true. And one of the factors in this winter event this year, was how suddenly it happened in most places. And I think that's what took a lot of places by surprise. So it snowed very heavily, for example, in Paris for 5 or 6 hours on an afternoon. And so that brought the city to a halt very quickly. Usually it doesn't happen so quickly. But then that really brought to, you know, a head all the troubles we have in transport with reacting when things go wrong. And there were fantastic lessons to be learned, if they are learned. Especially about information to users, I think. I mean, we made, you know, when we closed the system down, we either closed it down too slowly or too late. We allowed trucks to continue on the highways when we should have got them off. And so they jackknifed and turned and blocked the whole highway when they didn't have to. So we were too slow to react there. When public transport closes down, there was no information to users about, you know, why are the buses not running, when will they be running, what can people do, just nothing. And this kind of information blackout is really hopeless for transport, and we can do an awful lot better there, I think. So there are big lessons if they'll be learned. I mean, I think some countries have taken it up and have set up commissions and inquiries, and I think with your new information technology, I think we can do a lot better in individualized transport much more. So I hope we learn some lessons.
Excellent. Well, I'm looking forward to learning a bit myself here at the International Transport Forum. We've been speaking with Jack Short. He's the Secretary General of the International Transport Forum, going on here in Leipzig, Germany. Thank you very much.
Thank you. A pleasure.
We hope you've enjoyed today's Managing Safety, brought to you by the FAA Production Studios, a joint effort of the National Aviation Safety Foundation and the FAA Safety Team. Please visit our studio website at faaproductionstudios.com to hear past programs.